Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 14, 2017. Is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer requests, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Excuse me. Now, you can always find updates of the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime, please. Okay, on another note, what's the other note? Well, it's still here in front of me. Okay, quit being a jokester. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Syria, Latika, Syria, in fact, Espoo, Finland, Winnipeg, Canada, Dublin, Ireland, Hyderabad, India, and, of course, cities in the United States such as Austin, Texas, Oakland, California, New Orleans, Louisiana, Boston, Massachusetts. Only one of those nights, Washington and Washington, D.C. These are just to name a few, of course, Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Now a program will bring on tonight's guest because we've got a really great discussion. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, Father. And I just pray that you give everyone ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, we had some, to some it was shocking, to others it was just confirmation about what we heard last night with them talking about. And I'll just read part of it here. It says, this is from Fox News. Top Republicans are turning their focus to FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe as they scrutinize a host of anti-Trump texts exchanged between two bureau officials, raising questions about one in particular that seemed to reference an insurance policy against the Trump presidency. Well, that starts to set off some alarm bells. That text was revealed on Tuesday night when the Justice Department released hundreds of messages between FBI officers, officials, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who were romantically involved and at one point worked on Robert Mueller's Russia probe. I want to believe the pat. This is what it says. To believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office. There's no way he gets elected, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk, Stalk said, which he texted on August 15, 2016. He goes on and texts this. It's like an insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40. Well, it looks like there's a clear plot here against the President of the United States, even before he was elected. So tonight, you know, we had a completely different program lined up for you, and I just couldn't take this anymore. So I asked Frank Stephan to come on with me. Now, he has his own radio program called The Frank Report, and he's really good at political things like this, and I just have to get his reaction. So we asked Frank to come on with us, and prayerfully, he's right there waiting. Are you with us, Frank?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. New show, people.
Plan B.
Plan B, exactly. You always got to have a plan B for live radio. I didn't learn that for a couple of years.
But, yeah.
You know. Anyway, I was pretty in. Well, you know, I, at first when I saw it, my jaw about dropped, and I thought, well, smoking gun evidence, you know, and I had mixed feelings. One was happy to see a smoking gun, so to speak, which I'm sure they'll twist into not being one, but a smoking gun, and then being infuriated because it was confirmed to me that there, even though I knew it in my heart and all, things I've seen, this just proves it, doesn't it, that there is indeed and was a plot. Back to you.
Well, there's certainly evidence. I mean, you know, and it's a question for, you know, whoever is going to decide ultimately, you know, is it proof? I don't know, but it sure adds to the evidence that, like you said, you know, I believe, you know, from other things I've seen and read that, you know, I believe that before this, and now I look at this, and this is just added to the pile of more evidence, and, you know, so when does a pile of evidence become proof? You know, that's what we got to start asking ourselves, because we're getting there. And, you know, this is a, what's going on is there's a coup going on in the United States government. And it's not a coup against Donald Trump. See, we got to start, you know, he's the president. You know, just like if the economy does good, it's not him doing it. If the economy does bad, it's not him doing it. Okay? This coup is not against him, it's against the American people. The American people voted for Donald Trump, not because the American people love Donald Trump, okay? Because, like,
no.
You know, Ronald Reagan got elected because he was a personable kind of guy that everybody liked, because he was a compromiser that would make, you know, he would compromise. He had no principles, put it that way. And I know there's a lot of people out there that will argue that, but, you know, go look at his record, not his speeches, because his speeches were great, okay? Ronald Reagan, as far as a speech giver, was the best president in my lifetime. I mean, he gave the best speeches,
right.
And he delivered them great. Trump's not bad, but, you know, Reagan was better at it. But, you know, Trump's better at following through, okay, than Reagan ever was. And Reagan was president for 8 years, and Trump's already better than he was at actually following through. And that's what we got to stop looking at, is the blah, 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 because they'll say anything. If we haven't figured that out already, well, then we're not paying attention very well. But they'll say anything to get their way, and that counts Republicans or Democrats. If you're a politician, you're a liar, and you'll say anything that, you know, that will get you what you want. And we got to understand that, and we got to start looking at these people, and I get, you know, for a first-time guy, you know, sometimes they're going to have to take a little chance. But once they've been in there, they got a record we can look at. And if it ain't, if what they say isn't ginning up to what they do, they need to be sent down the bricks. And that's the thing. But the FBI is a cesspool of treason, as far as I'm concerned, along with the State Department. You know, and the FBI has gone, you know, glove in hand with the State Department, because the FBI is in hundreds of countries now. You got to wonder, what is the Federal Bureau of Investigation doing in hundreds of countries? Oh, they'll tell you, well, you know, we're investigating terrorism. Yeah, how's that going? How many plots have you foiled? And I don't mean the plots that you created by your entrapment, you know, where you go out and you find a retarded guy and you give him a bunch of money and guns and then come and arrest him for all the money and guns. Yeah, that's the FBI. That's what they do. They haven't foiled one terroristic plot for real, you know, since 2001, and they obviously failed on that day, didn't they? You know?
We haven't seen, you know, in just this in a factual basis. I haven't, honestly, I haven't seen any evidence. I'm not saying that they haven't, just on a rough estimate, they may have did one, but I didn't hear about it. I didn't see anything written about it. And so their record looks like you say, it looks like zero. Second, so that's worrisome that they're everywhere. Isn't that kind of like what the KGB did?
Well, and it's what the CIA is supposed to be doing. You know, the CIA, look, it's our government, you know, and this is another failure of the public school system that nobody's being taught what used to be called, remember the class called civics?
Yeah. Sure.
Where you learned how the government's set up, how the government's supposed to run, how, you know, the difference between the judiciary and the legislative and the executive and the jurisdictions and all that. You learned all that in that class. Well, apparently they're not learning it anymore, you know, because our international thing, look, the CIA is supposed to not ever be allowed to operate within the boundaries of the United States of America. They are exclusively an intelligence gathering agency for foreign affairs. They are the ones that are supposed to be at all our embassies. They're the ones that are supposed to be pretending to be the ambassador secretary when really they're a spy. You know,
right.
Those are the guys that are supposed to be doing that. The FBI is supposed to be investigating federal crimes. You know, they're not supposed to be. Okay, what was the last thing? You know, what was the last thing they had? They had the shooting in wherever it was. And who was the first one there? The FBI. The shooting in Las Vegas?
Vegas.
The FBI. What are they doing there? As far as I know, Nevada is not a federal area. As far as I know, shooting somebody within a state of the union with a rifle from a hotel room is a state crime of murder. There's no federal nexus there. What were they doing there? What are they doing in any of these places investigating anything that is not a federal crime? You see, they're, what they've done, and this is what they wanted to do when they created Homeland Security, what they did was blur all the lines. Oh, we've got this one big agency, Homeland Security, and the CIA, the FBI, everybody's in it. And now nobody knows where their boundaries are. Everybody gets the FBI's all around the world, the CIA's in Nevada, you know, everybody's everywhere, and nobody cares about jurisdiction. And it's just what it is it's a usurpation. It's treason.
Well, okay, yeah, I just had an epiphany, you know, thought about that. I remember when they were talking about, was it Obama or was it, I think it was Bush, actually, where they said we need to have communication from in between the agencies, and that was the formation of it. The excuse was so they could better communicate and coordinate things together, but it looks like we were hoodwinked, were we not?
Yeah, again, you know, because this happens all the time.
I know that
this is really going to be great for you. We're doing it for your protection. Dan, it's all about you. We want to do this for you. Yeah, and then, okay, well, good. You know, I like it when people do things for me. Go ahead. And then they end up, you know, messing up your life. And that's what they do. This is who they are. And you know, the American people are some slow learners, I'll tell you, because they really need to catch on to this, that, listen, your government lies all the time. It's not some of the time. It's not just about some things. It's everything. As a matter of fact, they even lie when they don't have to lie. And that right there is a good indication of somebody who is a psychopath, okay? Somebody who lies even though they don't have to lie. I don't have to lie. You know, I could tell you the truth and it wouldn't make any difference to you. But you know what? I got to lie because I'm a psychopath. And that's your government.
Yeah, okay. I get it. I do remember at a point in time that politician. I mean, you know, you could argue that a politician has always lied, but I seem to think that they were somewhat more respectable in about lying and so on and so forth. Now it's just nuts. it's like if you don't lie, there's something wrong with you. And that's why, you know, we'll bring Trump into it for a moment. You look at Trump and it is like that. You know, people ask me, well, what's he going to do next? I said, I don't know. You know, what all has he prompt? What did he say in his campaign? What did he say he was going to do or attempt to do? Well, that's probably what he's working on, because the guy, you know, for somebody coming out of Hollywood or whatever, seems to be real true blue to trying to do it. And there's the big word, try. I don't see how he accomplishes anything with all of this against him. I mean, Frank, how much is against him? Is there anything for him?
Is
that a better question?
Well,
is there anything for him?
It's very impressive, actually, what he has been able to get done. And this is what makes them the communists, because I'm not even going to call them liberals or Democrats anymore, because, you know, I'm not playing into their fraud. Their fraud is to, we're Democrats. No, you're not. You're a communist, okay? They are communists. They believe in the communist philosophy, and they are communists. That makes them communists.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so...
So you might as well call a dog a dog.
Well, yeah, and that's what they are, that's what they act like, and that's what they believe in, and this is what their agenda is. This is what they want to do. You can look at the Communist Manifesto, look at the 10 planks. They've instituted every last one of them in this country already.
Right.
You know, how'd that happen? Did that happen by Democrats? No, it happened by communists. You know, and now we've got communists even in the Republican Party. It's going to be just like the Soviet Union where, we have five candidates. We have Communist 1, Communist 2, Communist 3, 4, and 5. You get to choose which communist you want. And that was the elections in the Soviet Union. They didn't appoint. They had elections. It was
right.
Just the only people you got to vote for was from the Communist Party. And that's what we have going on, except they bamboozled everybody in this country into believing, we have two parties. No, we don't. We don't at all anymore, and we haven't for some time. I mean, you look back to Barry Goldwater, okay? Barry Goldwater, again, you know, none of these people are perfect people, as neither am I, neither are you. But the thing is, Barry Goldwater was a conservative.
Right.
Look what they did to him. I mean, Wallace, look what they did to him. I mean, everybody who comes up who, and they don't even have to, Joe McCarthy. Look what they did to him. I mean, he actually went after the communists, and they went back after him with the help of their little homosexual and the FBI again, who set Joe McCarthy out to dry. People don't know this, but it was J. Edgar Hoover that destroyed Joe McCarthy, because Joe McCarthy was going after the communists, and J. Edgar Hoover pulled him in and said, look at this evidence I've got. And J. Edgar Hoover kept dirt on everyone. And he had the lists of all the communists in Hollywood and everywhere else, and he showed Joe McCarthy these. And he said, hey, you go ahead, and I'll send this to you, and you do a press conference, and we'll blow this wide open, said the homosexual, okay? Well, Joe McCarthy scheduled the press conference and everything else, and guess who? Hung him out to dry. Yeah, the homo. That's right. And so Joe McCarthy's standing up there. The press is staring at him. And he's got no documentation. He knows what he saw. So he starts saying what he saw. And he held up blank pieces of paper and said, right here. Well, he got caught. And that destroyed him. Once they found out there's nothing on that paper, you made it all up, is what they said. But it was J. Edgar Hoover who hung him out to dry, the homosexual who ran the FBI for something like 45 years. So don't anybody out there ever say to me that back when the FBI was honest, they were never honest. They were always a crooked organization run by an abomination.
Right, right. Yeah, and you go like that, you know, he's the seed. He's the one that's in charge. You can say, well, they did some good things and they worked against organized crime. Well, J. Edgar Hoover didn't even pay attention to organized crime for a number of years. And I'm not quite sure that was because it was obvious that there was organized crime, even though he said there was no organized crime. But the point is a bad person like that, put in charge, even the best agency in the world, cannot produce good fruit because if the top's corrupt, the rest of it has to be corrupt, correct?
Well, yeah, you know, fruit from the poison tree. You know, this is even a legal, this is even a legal doctrine that, you know,
right.
I mean, it's just it's one of those things. What do they call that in the Declaration of Independence? They call it self-evident. You know, that
right.
It's evident.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be proved. Everybody knows it's true. You know, that's just
right.
One of those
it's self-evident.
Things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it has had corruption in it from the first. Not saying that it hasn't did some good things, you know, but the point is
can you name one?
What? Well, I haven't the slightest idea.
Yeah, me either. So you know what? I can say they've never done anything good ever. Everything they've done has always been a fraud to expand their power and enslave the American people. That's the FBI, folks. That is the tradition of the FBI. The FBI was started to enforce prohibition within the states of the Union, okay? This is their start. How many of you out there thought prohibition was a good idea? I don't hear anybody. Oh, yeah, well, they were the enforcers for that bad idea that nobody liked, okay? That was them. And then, did they go away when prohibition did? No. Sadly, because you know what? They got what they wanted out of prohibition. They expanded organized crime and they expanded federal power within the state.
Yeah,
that's what they wanted.
That's very important. Had it not been for prohibition, organized crime got rich from prohibition and expanded into the tentacle beast that it is today from prohibition.
Yep.
Back to you.
No, that's absolutely true. And it was all, you know, and people, oh, well, you know, it was an unintended consequence. No, it wasn't. It was a planned agenda. This is exactly what they wanted, okay? This is what the Federalists wanted from the very beginning of the Constitutional Convention, for crying out loud. This isn't a new idea in this country that there are some people in this country that want, they don't want state governments. They don't want local governments. They want one big monster in D.C. running the whole show, and they want appointed commissioners throughout the country dictating to everybody what the federal government says to do. There are groups of people, and there always have been in this country, that want just that. They were called Federalists at the very beginning. You know, now they're, you know, then they, somewhere along the line, they were called Nazis, and then, you know, I mean, it's just different names for the same stuff.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to break in, Frank, because as you know, we usually take a break around in the middle of this, and so the Frank Report airs daily at what time?
2 p.m. and 8 p.m.
2 p.m. and 8 p.m. Folks, go over there. You will enjoy Frank's program, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're in December. We'll get back to our good conversation with Frank here in a moment. But, you know, we're in December, and, you know, for some reason, and I don't want to place blame on anybody for anything, but the last couple of years, December and January, have become the lowest months of the year for donations. To give you an example, here it is. The going to be the 15th of the month. Half the month is gone. I haven't even been able to pay radio airtime. And I know all you folks love radio airtime. And I know our wonderful producer and founder of American Voice Radio enjoys our program. In fact, he's on with us tonight. But he has to pay his bills, too. So I have to pay my airtime so the station can pay their bills. And so it's an independent station. And that means that we're not answering to people. And so pray about it. You don't get this kind of broadcasting everywhere. And you say, yeah, nowadays with the Internet. But, you know, this isn't just Internet. This is satellite radio. We go out all over C-band satellite. We're on an FM station. We're on YouTube Live. We are out there. In fact, I think you can still get us by telephone. But the point is so if you're listening to the program, pray about supporting airtime. A donation, you know, would help greatly. That's how we've stayed on the air. We've been with American Voice Radio since about 2004. We've been doing radio since 2000. Now, the Mission Church, we've been doing the Mission Church 18 years. Now, you folks, pray about it. I mean, you know, here it is, the month of December, and whether you're celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas, you know, I'm in Hanukkah right now. It's the third night. But the poor, they don't care which day it is. They come in. We take care of them. In fact, you know, on Christmas Day, everybody's closed. We're open. We're there for them. We give them a warm meal, and they can come in. But most places are closed. We are not. We're open. In fact, you know that most all the places are closed. And I'm not talking about places that take care of them. I'm talking about stores are closed. Places to go hang out to get a little warmth and heat are closed. We're open, and we have standing room only. And as the rate that things go on with donations, we may not even have the lights on when it comes because donations are slow this month. In fact, this is the slowest December that we've ever been through. And so we really need you to pray about it. Pray about supporting us to help us so we can take care of the people that the Father sends us. Really, folks, and remember, you know, we are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free, and donations is what's kept us on the air all these years. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And again, pray about it. And we've got some really good guests coming for you. In fact, I got some new books. Oh, great. I got to do some more reading. Some new books even came in the mail today for me to review and ask these people on. So pray about it, supporting radio and supporting the Wichita Mission Church. And now we're back with Frank Stepan. Are you there with me, Frank?
I am. Gee, Dan, I mean, what's the problem? I mean, you know, I look on Drudge and, hey, the economy is great. We got full employment. Everybody's doing wonderful. And everybody's back to work. Everybody has a job. Everybody's making money. Everybody, the stock market's going great. How can donations be done?
Well,
unless all that's not true.
Well, I can't personally judge it. Absolutely. I can tell you what I see. I know some of the people in Wichita that haven't been able to find a job have miraculously started going back to work this year. But there's a problem. Let's say that it is getting better. People, with everything they went through with Obama and Bush and these other situations in the economy crashed. People are being cautious, I believe, and they should be, and folks, you should be cautious because, you know, any way the wind blows could bring everything right back down if it is indeed up. You should be cautious. But the biggest thing, Frank, is what a lot of people don't grasp is, you know, they're storing up their treasure in the wrong place. They need to be storing their treasure in heaven, you know, because that's where it counts at. That's who looks after them. And, you know, they need to sow their seeds. And I'm not saying they should pile up their money and send it all off to me. I mean, that'd be great if they did. But, you know, charity starts at home. It starts in your own household. You are responsible for those around you. Your charity starts in your own household, and it branches out from there. By the time a donor, and I look at it like this, I'm like a second or third choice for a donation, because the next place it should go is you should be meeting with somebody. Now, if you're going to church, that's great. If it's a biblical church, I'm not even going to go into that. But if, or you have a home church and you're several families, your money should then go in to that, you know, to help spread the gospel. And but whatever organization you have should also be a reflection of charity, as the early church was. The early church gave it to, even Paul said, I sold all to take care of the poor. He made another mention. He said, well, I got to send foodstuffs over to Jerusalem. Well, he had to take his tithes over to Jerusalem. Why? Because the poor needed to be fed and taken care of. That's the job of the church. Welfare isn't a job. Government came along and stole the job from the church, and the church turned around and sent their money.
Well, they thought it was great because, hey, more money for us. We can buy stadiums and big auditoriums, and, you know, I can have lots of assistants, and, like, yeah, I can have all that stuff and a big TV ministry. I can do lots of things with that now that I don't have to take care of them stinking poor.
That's basically what happened, and that's a fact. You know, there, it's just like I get people off and on that come in, and they bring me stuff, and, it, and it, you know, and they'll say, well, that it came from their church's food pantry because it was getting outdated. Outdated? Your food in your food pantry is outdated. Well, why do you have a food pantry? You know, you get the picture? Who are they giving the food out to? Nobody. It's just there so they can say, we have a food pantry. We've got a reserve. And I shouldn't condemn all. I mean, there's some churches that are regular use or food pantry, but it's a poor church. The richer the church gets, the less money they generally put out to the public in those kind of programs.
Well, you know, yeah. Dan, that counts for not just rich churches. It counts for rich people, too. The most generous people are the poor people. The rich people got rich by being greedy and keeping every dime for themselves.
Let me give you a good example. You know what? I know as a fact, I can say this as a fact, and I'm not trying to offend anybody out there, but I know as a fact there are millionaires that listen to this radio program. You know, I know that as a fact. They could take care of our whole budget for a year if we had a such thing called a budget with a minor donation.
What are you, the United States government or what? No budget.
They would give a but they would get a tax deduction that would be bigger than the money that they donated, you know, but they don't do it, you know. Oh, them poor homeless people. And that's the other part of the problem with this with what we do. They don't want to donate to the homeless and poor. And if they do, they want to do it through a government agency. And if you're a 501(c) with a corporation, whether you know it or not, you've become a government agency. And so, you know, we're not a 501(c), we're an unincorporated church, you know, and our money, it keeps the lights on. It keeps the bills paid. But I have to have lights to talk to you on radio. I have to have heat, which right now, by the way, my heater in my office is gone and out. I haven't had the money for a service call. If I have to replace the furnace, it's like $800. So I'm using a little electric heater. Okay, well, I'm still warm. But, you know, that's how slow donations are. At the Mission Church, Frank, we had the heater. It kicked off for some strange reason. It did it twice now. Last time it was off for a day and a half. And so I put one of the guys that's a helper, well, he's got a place to stay now, because if the heater goes back off, he's got a bunch of electric heaters he can click on at the Mission Church, and we've got to have some. And so he's there to do that. Point is, we shouldn't have to do that. Just have a service call, really. Well, a service call, the ones we checked were like $180. I don't have $180 right now. I'm barely going to have eggs to open tomorrow. But we'll get open. The Father will take care of it, and we'll be there. But there's people that could take care of this very, very simply. But, you know, I don't know, and I don't care. The Father hasn't failed us in 18 years, and he won't fail us now. We'll still be here. And so, you know, that's kind of the way it is.
No, yeah, and I've got a suggestion for folks who, you know, because you really should, like Dan said, you know, you really should start where you live. you know, obviously, look, your family, you know, you've got to, your family has to be first when it comes to, you know, money and what needs, and then what's left over, you got to look around where you live. And what I think is a great idea is, because this is what, and somebody suggested this to me, this is not my original idea, because I'm one that always, I don't give to any organizations at all, and but I do, I pull over and I hand homeless people on the street, you know, $1 or $2 at a time, and I don't give more than that, because you know what, they're out there asking a lot of people, and it's like, hey, if this is what you're going to do for money, it's like a job, and you know, you're going to earn it, and every dollar counts, and they all add up, and if you stay out here and do it long enough, hey, it's just like you don't get to go to work for 1 hour. You only get paid for 1 hour then, right? You got to be there eight hours, and that way you get a paycheck at the end of the week, you know? It's the same with these guys. And plus, you know, people go, yeah, but you don't know what they're going to do with the money. I don't care what they do with the money. Once I give it to them, it's theirs. They can do what they want. They know what they need a lot better than I do. And if they need to go buy a bottle of booze, then that's what they've decided they need. Okay? I'm not here to raise them. I'm just trying to help them. That's all. And somebody suggested to me, and I think it's a great idea, and I'm going to start doing it, is that when you do that, also hand them a tract. You know, a biblical tract.
Right.
You know, hand them that and a couple of bucks, you know, and there you go. Now, these guys are signing, you might think, ah, they're just going to throw it away. You'd be surprised. I can tell you from my own experience, from living out on the street for 7 years in every state in this country except two, that the homeless are more in tune with the Father than most people I meet anywhere.
Amen. Amen. It goes back to that thing. I am so sick of, you know, and it came from that doctrine about, what is it, where they give all the money, and if you give us all your money, you know, everything's going to be fine with you and everything. And so if you're not making it, it's because you haven't given up to God. And so if you've given up to God, and so then people look at you and they say, well, if your ministry's struggling, it must not be what God wants. And boy, they haven't read their Bible.
Oh, that's that prosperity doctrine. Yeah, that crap. That's just a bunch of greedy corporate scumbags who want to make a lot of money, and they just twist the Bible. I call that torturing the scripture. Because you see, everybody knows, including, well, except American intelligence, because that's an oxymoron, but everybody who knows anything knows that if you torture information out of somebody, you can't rely on it. Okay? It's not reliable, because if you're torturing somebody, they'll say anything you want them to say. And that's what I mean by torturing scripture. They torture scripture and they make it say whatever they want it to say. And, you know, that's something I really don't like.
Okay, Frank, you believe in, you know, the Proverbs, you know, that thing in the Old Testament? You believe in those things?
Yeah.
Well, I got a proverb I want to read, and then you tell me what you think of it, okay?
Okay.
It's Proverbs. It's 31. Five. I'm just going to stop. Wait, hang on. Okay. I'm just going to do it from 1 to 8. So let's do it like this. We'll start with 3. Okay. Give not thy strength unto the woman, nor thy ways unto that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Okay. Let me keep going. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, that means die, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So, is it wrong to give a poor man a drink to make him forget about his misery for a little while? I think the Bible just told me it was okay. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, that people, even people that I respect and I listen to and, you know, and I believe have good, great intentions, you know, they get people get something that they don't like. I don't like drinking. Okay. And they'll go into the Bible and they will find every little thing against drinking and they'll say, see. And, but the thing is, they will ignore everything else that says, right. Well, under this circumstance and that circumstance and this circumstance. I've actually heard people say, Jesus didn't really make that into wine, not the wine we think of, not the alcoholic wine. It was the new wine, like grape juice. And it's like, oh, please, what are you kidding me? You think they didn't know the difference between wine and grape juice? Come on. You know, I mean, really. You know,
on that one, let me throw this in. On that one, you can simply look up, and we're talking about, the wedding at Canaan. You know, his mother wanted him to make wine. If you look up the words where it talks about the wine, it says specifically in the original language, inebriating drink. Back to you.
Well, yeah, but there's no talking to people who've already made up their mind and said. Now, look, I'm not saying that anybody should have the happy hour church of, bourbon or something, out there. But, the thing is, it's like, look, God says drunkards don't go to heaven. Well, there's a difference between being a drunkard and being drunk. Okay? There's a big difference between those two things. Being a drunkard is a repetitive drunkenness, meaning you're always drunk. You know, you're drunk all the time. We would call that an alcoholic, right? That you're always drunk, you know? Hey, man, you smell like booze. Even if you're not stumbling and falling down, you're always drunk, right? You're always got a head on you. But the thing is, God's against that. God's not against, you got inebriated. Well, that's it. You're going to hell. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just not that way. And the Bible doesn't support that attitude or that idea. But there is, and what is the Bible big on? Moderation in everything, not just drinking, but everything. Moderation. Why would it be? Yeah, I'm for moderation for everything. Shit, that. And people do that. Whatever it is, they don't like. Yeah, God's for moderation. Shit for that I don't like. And it's just not that
right.
Way. God doesn't care what you like.
Right. Right, and you hit on something else. See, that's just like the people that make up their wonderful religions is, and they pick out a part or even part of a sentence that they like, and they will build a whole religion around that sentence or denomination, if you will, and instead of taking it in the whole. You know what I'm saying?
Well, sure. The Pentecostals say that you're not saved unless you talk in Babel.
Which they
call tongues, of course, which is, if you go look it up, if you go look up in the Bible, everywhere where it says tongues is not somebody jumping up and talking gibberish and having somebody on the stage go, aha, this is what he says. No, that's not tongues at all. Tongues was when the preacher was preaching. Everybody of different languages in the crowd understood what he was saying. That's biblical tongues. And they've twisted it completely around.
Well, yeah.
But,
anyway.
Hey, tongues are in the Bible. It's true. It is there. But it wasn't... barking like a dog or drooling like a whatever. And that's just, you're possessed. If that's what I'm thinking. And I've been in Pentecostal churches. I mean, and my first time, let me tell you, I was a little, taken back. Cause I'm sitting there. No, really, man, I'm sitting there.
I laugh because I remember my first experience with a Pentecostal church. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we're in there and everything seems fine. We're singing songs and all that. And I'm thinking, well, they sing a little more songs than, what I'm used to in a church. But hey, so what? I don't mind singing hymns and stuff. This is fine. And then we stopped singing and we sat down and there's, okay, he's going to start preaching. And all of a sudden I'm sitting there and somebody, like, I guess it was like two rows in front of me and across the aisle to the left, jumps up, and he's sit right by the aisle, jumps up and starts yelling this nonsense, this just babble. You know, whatever, you know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's possessed. You know, I'm thinking this guy's possessed. This is some strong, I'm thinking this must be some strong preaching because this guy just drove a devil out of this man over here, you know. You know, this is what I'm thinking, right? Because I read the Bible and I know, hey man, you know, this seems familiar. And, you know, and then somebody up on the stage jumps up and says, okay, you know, to the, I don't know exactly what they said, but it was to the effect, let me tell you what he said, right? And then they start telling, in English, well, this, right, he said this, that, and the other thing, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, what is going on around here? So I started asking afterwards, you know, when it was all over, I started asking people, what was that? What is this thing? Oh, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues. And I'm like, filled with the Holy Ghost? Really? Tongues? And I'm like, tongues? You mean like biblical tongues? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, that's not what I read.
Let me throw this in there. Just per se, that was a legitimate thing, they're being illegitimate in the manner that you're not supposed to use it in church. I mean, it's disorderly. You're not supposed to do it in that manner anyway, if it's even a gift. Most people, you ever seen two people tell, somebody try and tell a new convert, well, you can learn it. Well, if it was something that just comes upon you, how is it that you're learning yet? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't learn a gift.
If you're going to speak in another language and it's from God, there's no learning in there at all whatsoever. And
no, I don't think there's learning of a gift. I mean, if it's a gift, it's a gift. You just get it. You just got it. That's all. You didn't do anything for it. It's a gift.
That is the point. And, you know, but it's a good example of taking a little portion of the Bible and saying, okay, you can justify it with these few words or whatever. The Bible needs to be taken in its entirety. You know, you've got to read the whole book. You can't cut out the parts that you don't like. You know, and in fact, we even went on that on the other program that we did earlier tonight. But
and I really do encourage people that, because, you know, I did it myself and I know what it did for me, and I believe it'll do the same for anybody who does it. I think you need to read the Bible. Just sit down, and I don't mean, you know, sit down and don't get up until you're done. You know, just get a bookmark. You know, I mean, read it like any other book. Start at the beginning and read it all the way through. And let me tell you something. Exodus is a tough book, man. With that, somebody begot somebody else who begot somebody else who begot somebody. Oh, man.
When we read that out loud, I always make my wife read that part out loud. She's so good at all those names. I still can't pronounce all those names. And somebody's going to mess up around here. It's going to be her. But she's real good at it, you know. And so she bleeps them out. And I don't even know if those are some of the names, because I have no idea how to pronounce it. Hey, it sounds good.
Yeah,
you know?
And I just got...
Let's let Linda do it.
That was such the boring thing for me. It's like, wow, this is... Wow. And then I skip ahead and go, oh, man, this goes on for pages. You know, so... But just... Fight through it. Read the whole thing all the way through. Why? Because what we read, what we see, becomes a part of us. And if you read the whole Bible becomes a part of you. Why that's important is because now you have given the Holy Ghost the tools he needs to help you.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, are you a preacher, Frank? I mean,
no.
You seem to have it down pretty well close, you know. Anyway, preaching. Speaking of preaching, when do you do your preaching on radio?
Right now.
That's right. Yeah. Besides right now.
Yeah. Well,
I want him to come listen to you on your show.
2 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Pacific, and that would be tonight, just a few hours.
And that would be tonight, just about, yeah, absolutely. Okay, folks. Well, Frank, thanks for being on with me. I know we started to talk about one thing, and we ended up talking about this. I believe the Lord leads us in whatever we talk about. So thanks for being on, brother.
Thanks for having me on, Dan. And sorry we didn't stick to the program, but I don't even remember what the program was anymore.
I think we were griping about the, I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right.
Thanks,
Dan.
Be
blessed. Talk to you later. Well, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. And I'm not, we're not downing anybody utters religion. Your belief is your belief. You do need to take the Bible in its entirety. You can't just cut out a piece of it and say the rest of it's no good and throw it out. Charity starts at home and to those close around you. If you have anything left over, consider a donation for Messiah's Branch Mission Church for radio airtime. Pray about it. And happy Hanukkah. We're in the third night of Hanukkah, I think, or fourth. I don't know. My wife ain't here to tell me. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, only through him is the way to the Father. Remember what? Always, always be a blessing, gutters. And don't just wait till the month of December to do it. Be a blessing all year round. If you're saved, it should come natural. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.